My name is Elizabeth Frost. I am 21 years old. Today is December 6th, 2020, and I'm speaking with Brian Frost, who is my dad. We're recording this interview in Florence, South Carolina. All right, the first question I have for you is, how has your life been different than what you'd imagined?
Never imagined it would turn out the way it is now. So I'm 48 years old now, and consider it successful in ways that I really only dreamed about. I never thought I would have a wife. I didn't really think I would have a large family. I didn't think I'd be financially secure, and I am, and that's kind of fun. It's not as fun as I would like in some other ways, though, because, you know, when you're younger, you have all this energy and ability to do things and dreams and the mental capacity to do things. And when you get older, your brain starts to get slower and your body isn't as strong and you're not as able to enjoy the dreams that you had at one time. Like, I'm financially able to do all kind of things, but my mind and my body aren't what they were when I was younger.
Is there any specific thing that was the most surprising about your life? Like, maybe being a doctor? Was that something you always had in mind?
No. I had no idea I'd be a doctor. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what I was going to be. I just knew I could be successful if I put my mind to it. It's something my dad taught me as a young person, that if you put your mind to something, you can be successful in anything you pursue as long as you give it 100%.
How'd you find the motivation to do that? To put your mind to something and just go for it.
I knew I didn't want to be certain things. I knew I didn't want to be without the ability to buy things or financial resources. So I knew I needed a job, and so I just did it. The alternative was motivating.
True. Sometimes it's hard to think forward, so that's really cool that you're one of those people that can.
Yeah.
The next one was, what are you proudest of in life? This kind of ties in to what you were just talking about.
Well, this is interesting, because...
You can pick a few things, not just one.
Well, it's a philosophy that I've come to learn, that a lot of things in life people think they've done and they're proud of, they really didn't do. And it's something I've learned. It's called the fundamental attribution error.
Mm-hmm.
It's fundamental to everyone. All people have this error and they don't know it often. But what it is you commonly attribute the successes in your life to your own worthiness, that you did something and it's you who created it. But anything negative in your life, it's an accident. It's somebody else caused it to happen, or it's you give an excuse. But if something else good happens to someone else, you think, well, they scammed their way into that success. And if anything bad happens, you attribute that they're a bad person. You know? So you flip it. So it's interesting that you ask, what is the thing that I'm most successful about? Because things that I think I'm successful about or proud of, I don't know that I necessarily deserve them.
Such as?
I mean, I was in the right place at the right time to get into running. And if I hadn't gotten into running, I would not have ended up at the Citadel for college.
How'd you get into running again?
Well, it's weird. So my best friend, his name was Derek Maltby, he had signed up for the Valentine's Day race, 5K race in our neighborhood. And he had to pay, and I'm a cheapskate. And so he got sick, and he offered to give me his number.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm not gonna let this money, it was silly because I was running. Why would And so
Was it like $5 or something?
I don't know. But I ran the race in street clothes and not running shoes, like regular loafers, and I did not so bad. And so I was like, oh, I can actually maybe do this.
Yeah.
And so I got on the cross country team and the track team after that. And had I not gone that direction...
Wouldn't have gotten scouted, right?
I wouldn't have gotten scouted. I wouldn't have gotten to the Citadel. I would not have gone to college.
Yeah.
There's no doubt, because my grades were so poor. Would not have been in college.
And your parents hadn't gone to college, had they?
Correct, they had not.
So you were the first. Did their parents go to?
I don't know. Yeah, I think.
I wonder if you broke a cycle.
Maybe.
And what about your brothers and your sister? Have they done, or are you the only one?
My sister went to college.
Okay.
but none of the others.
None of the brothers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what? Going back to what you're proud of, but you don't think you might have earned. Like, what are some of those things?
Graduating from the Citadel, I'm proud of.
I know you worked your way into that, because you made all these things for yourself, like the little booth, the little cubicle, so you could focus and all that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just surviving the Citadel was an accomplishment. That was something I'm proud of.
It's a big deal.
Probably doing well in medicine. Like, it's a very competitive field, and so when you're in it, you don't know if you're going to do well or not. I remember being in residency thinking, this isn't for me, and scared, like, oh my goodness, what have I gotten myself into? And then after about a year in it, I realized, wow, I'm actually pretty good at this in different ways than other people are. Like, the way I can think about problems and get through to the... I'm pretty quick to get to the truth behind what the situation is and
it's apply that in medicine. It's interesting how in a lot of jobs you see people that are like, I don't really know why I'm doing this job, like journalists or teachers, but with medicine, it pretty much everyone's all in, aren't they?
Yeah.
Why is that, I wonder?
Well, it takes a lot to get in it. I mean, to do it takes your whole life.
Everyone kind of gets weeded out
before
finishing things if they aren't fully in it.
And in medicine, it's all about the patient. It's not about you. It's about sacrificing your life for people.
Yeah. So. Your life and your time.
Yeah.
The next one was, can you tell me about someone who has had a big influence on your life, and what lessons did that person teach you?
Well, there have been a lot of people, been influences. And a lot of them taught me a lot of things, some of them not so good. That's a hard one, because I don't know.
Didn't you talk about someone in church recently who had influences on you?
Like who?
I think it was a professor or something.
Well, that was a negative influence. That professor tried to challenge my faith and tell me that what I believed in Christianity wasn't true. It wasn't much of a role model there. I guess my dad was a positive influence, because there were some negatives with him, but at the same time, he taught me the value of hard work. He taught me that if you're going to be successful in life, you're going to... So, going back to what I previously said, of course, there's certain, you know, things that I had nothing to do with, that I was just in the right place at the right time. But they're also what separates people is your willingness to apply yourself and to really work hard. So the reason I was able to make good grades at the Citadel wasn't just because I was talented naturally, it's because I really worked hard. I skipped weekends, I stayed up late at night, you know, all the other people were out partying or having fun, and I wasn't, I was working. So I think I learned a lot from him of learning of being diligent and hardworking.
I don't know if I ever realized that about him, that he's really hardworking, because he's retired now, right?
Yeah,
so I've never really seen his hardworking side as much. I see grandma's with her gardening, though. Was she hardworking, too?
Yeah, but not the same way that he was.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you feel misunderstood by people who have different beliefs than you, and how so?
So, I feel misunderstood by people who don't have the brain that I have. The way that I see the world, and I'm somewhat black and white, and I lack the social skills that a lot of people have of being able to, and I don't, it's hard to explain. I have ADD, and in some ways it's a very powerful force that I can use to accomplish things that other people can't do. And the other side of that coin is that it can offend people, because I think I'm somewhat more task focused than people focused, mm-hmm, and that's so. Also detrimental to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if I had a regret, it would be I wish I was better at caring for people.
What was your Myers-Briggs?
ISTP.
TP. Yeah, the T is thinking and the F is feeling, and you're thinking, which means you're facts over, like,
yeah, I don't like connections. Emotional, yeah.
I'm the same way. I'm ENTP.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is extroverted, intuitive, thinking, perceiving. Perceiving has to do with how structured you are.
You're an ENTP?
ENTP, known as the debater. Oh. That's what that type is called.
Interesting.
And this question is actually a bit more like, I think it's supposed to be political. So, like, do you feel misunderstood by, yeah, people who have different beliefs than you, like people who are pro-choice, people who are gay, people who are just left-wing or stuff like that?
I'd have an opinion that
people that think that because you support Trump, you're automatically racist, that type of stuff.
I don't care. I know that people have false ideas of me,
mm-hmm,
and I don't care. Like, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I could care less what someone else thinks about
me. If you're
me.
Misunderstood, it doesn't
I
really matter.
I do not care. I have learned as a youngster that don't waste your life worrying about what other people think about you. Yeah. Because there's no way to convince them otherwise.
So what they're doing isn't hurting you enough for you to want to change.
It doesn't hurt me at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt me at all.
And their beliefs don't really hurt you either?
I'm very confident in my beliefs because it's not based on just feeling. It's based on logic, yeah. And I've thought through. I'm a thinker, mm-hmm, and I just don't go with whims. I go with what I think can be proven and understood.
Yeah.
So that I feel confident in my faith, so I don't feel like I need to prove myself to anybody.
Yeah, and you don't feel a threat from like what the other side in politics wants.
No, I don't.
Because they're not taking away rights. They just want to give more, in a way, you know?
I mean, if I differ with them, like just now, there was a guy who was at the restaurant without a mask on, and
mm-hmm,
it bothered me, but it wasn't going to bother me to get me infected, and so I'm not going to go up to him and challenge him, you know? That'd be silly.
That type of thing.
I might get in a fight, you know? I don't need to do that.
I think the reason why, I would say my side, because I think I'm probably still kind of left-wing, gets more angry with the right is because some policies on the right are potentially taking away some rights that, like, the right that women have,
mm-hmm,
to not have to use their body as an incubator, or the right of gay people to have hospital care,
mm-hmm,
or trans people to serve in the military. And I think because rights are being actively taken away is why our side seems more feisty, because we're kind of trying to fight to get things back, to get our ground back.
I think you're too young to say what side you're on yet.
Yeah. I don't know. I resonate more with the things that I hear from, quote, left-wing or liberal people than I do with, quote, right-wing or conservative people.
Right.
But that's just so far. I'm only 21. I don't know things yet. I'll figure it out eventually. Let's see. Are there things about me that you've always wanted to know but have never asked?
About you?
Yeah.
Things about you that I've always wanted to know. I feel like I know a lot about you. I probably know more about you than you know about yourself.
And what do you know that I don't know then?
I mean, I just feel like I know you. I know the way your brain works in a lot of ways. Some ways I don't.
Yeah.
I guess the question would be, what ways do I not know you that you think that I don't know you?
Did I ever tell you I have borderline?
Borderline personality?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you do.
Remember back when it was after some therapy sessions and we were talking in the car and I hadn't told you yet that I'd got my diagnosis from Jane.
I know that you had a diagnosis from Jane, but...
But we were talking and you were like, man, borderline people are the worst. You know, they're just so dramatic and it would just be so awful if you had borderline. So I never told you.
No, I don't think you have it clinically.
Now at this point, I only check 4 of the boxes and you need to check 5 or more to be diagnosed with it.
You are not manipulative. Borderline people, it's not just dramatic. They're manipulative. Mm-hmm. They are doing things. They're devious.
I think part of that is a stereotype.
Maybe.
I think you might be imposing that.
I've diagnosed several borderlines, and mm-hmm, I don't see that in you.
Basically, as I understand it, borderline is like an excess of emotions that last a very long time. And yeah, so to cope with that, well, that's what I'm pretty sure that's what's in the DSM-5. And to cope with that, we go to extremes. We see things in black and white, have extreme behaviors, either very clingy.
Tendencies.
Yeah.
But you don't have a pervasive.
I did in the past. I had enough.
Yeah, but you were a child and you had a lot of things going on.
And characters in fiction that have borderline personality disorder are always the ones that I resonate with the most, which is rather telling as well.
I wouldn't label you as anything. I think your brain is different.
Yeah. I think I'm one of the lucky ones and I got proper help.
Yeah.
So that's good. Okay. This one's, do you have any regrets?
Yeah, I've got lots of regrets. I wish I was more humble. I wish I wasn't as arrogant sometimes. I had a pretty bad financial regret that I got involved in with
real estate. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could have avoided all that. But in many ways, I mean, it's a great education. So the only way you learn is going through hardship. I think I'm a lot more knowledgeable now because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding risk and knowing how to avoid risky situations.
Whatever happened to all that real estate stuff anyway? Did you end up, like, getting out of it?
Mm-hmm.
How long did that take?
Two and a half years or so.
Okay, you just, like, sold everything and then you were done with it?
Yep.
Has real estate gotten any better since then or since 2008?
Oh, it's booming now.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, everything in life goes through cycles, so it might take a long time to see the cycle, the pendulum swing.
Like the stocks.
Yeah, stocks will go from bear markets, which are low, to bull markets, mm-hmm. which are going high.
Okay. What were the hardest moments when I was growing up?
You were amazing as a little tiny girl. I mean, unbelievable. Like, crazy smart.
How old do you think I was when I learned how to read?
Very young.
Like, 2 or 3?
Yeah, I don't know, but it was very young.
Because I remember doing letter puzzles at age 2.
And you knew how to do sign language, and you knew how to do, I mean, your memory was amazing, and you were so cute and sweet. What was the question?
What were the hardest moments when I was growing up? I guess I was cute and sweet until I developed a will of my own.
We had some hardships going on in your teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what got you off on that. I don't know what to attribute it to.
Mm-hmm.
Developmentally, I think a lot of it is just, some of it is just the age that you were and the emotions that get heightened with going through puberty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure some of it had to do with being homeschooled and feeling isolated or not developing the social skills, probably, maybe.
Yep, that's definitely part of it. You know how kids can be, like, found who've never been spoken to before, and they're, like, 12 years old now, and they can never learn to speak really properly? Mm-hmm. There's, like, windows of development, of impressionableness. And I think I kind of missed, I'd say between ages 4 and 11, I kind of missed a good amount of, like, social skills that come naturally to people because they hang out with other people daily during those times. And I think I did it, like, once or twice a week, and siblings, it's kind of different. It's strangers that develop those social skills, and I think I kind of missed things that come naturally to everyone else now, and it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I think another thing was...
I wonder if you can still relearn that.
I don't think I can ever quite learn it the same way. I can try, but...
Well, what's hard is you've got extrovertedness.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so I get energy
from... combination.
Technically, I'm right on the edge. I'm like... 52% extroverted, 48% introverted. So I really am right on the edge, but I do technically get a little bit more energy from people.
Well, the problem with that is, I think the answer is, if you don't have good social skills, is to mm-hmm. close your mouth and be careful around people and what you say.
Yeah, and it's really hard to do that, especially if you've got a brain that's going a million miles a minute and you feel like if you don't talk, you'll explode. You know how that is.
Yeah, I do.
I think another thing that might have contributed to a lot of emotional distress was some of the discipline stuff, like when I was angry after I got spanked, it was disrespectful. And mm-hmm. so I got spanked more. And so I learned that if I showed people I was angry, I would get hit. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't express anger and I took it out on myself. Mm-hmm. Or I took it out as sarcasm. Or just like jokes.
Yeah, I could see that.
So yeah, I don't have normal anger expression. I either turn it into sadness or I like take it out on myself or be sarcastic.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so that was a thing. At least I figured out how it worked, what happened.
Yeah.
You guys are doing a great job with Michael and David, I'd say.
Yeah.
And Sally Ann was pretty good.
We all are getting better.
Yeah.
You're getting... I can see success in your future.
Yeah, thanks. I recently figured out a way to make myself work with screen sharing with people.
Cool.
On Discord, so it's like someone can watch my screen.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Jeez.
Accountability, I guess.
For future generations of your family listening to this years from now, is there any wisdom you'd want to pass on to them? What would you want them to know?
I don't hope that they would listen to this in the future.
Who knows?
This
is some Library of Congress stuff.
I think spending more time reading the Bible
mm-hmm.
has made a huge difference in my life. And not just quickly reading through it, but really reading it cover to cover and then in depth in certain areas of it. A lot of wisdom found there. One more time with the question.
For future generations of your family listening to this years from now, is there any wisdom you'd want to pass on to them? What would you want them to know?
I guess get a firm grasp on what success is, that it's not making money, that it's enjoying being with your family and doing what God's called you to do. If you've been called to do something, you should do it
mm-hmm.
with all your heart and be excellent at it. I would hope that my future descendants would be excellent at what they do, that they would work hard at whatever they find themselves to do, they'd be really good at it.
Yeah.
And contribute to others. Because really that's what matters at the end of the day, is that you have contributed to others. It's not a matter of what you have, it's a matter of what you used what you have for other people.
Yeah.
So that when you leave, the place is better off than when you got here.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, the last question is, how would you like to be remembered?
Yeah, I don't really care about being remembered.
You're 48. You're nowhere near there, right?
Well, even if I am, I don't feel like I have this need to be memorialized or remembered. I have not. Yeah. I don't have that ambition.
But you don't want to be completely forgotten.
Yeah, I don't really, you know.
You want people to think about you every once in a while.
I guess, yeah. I would love to know that I taught my kids good things and that they learned from me and they had an easier life than I had because they learned from me. I love my wife and I would hope that she would remember me fondly.
Yeah, she will.
I've done a lot of teaching of students, medical students. And in many ways, that's how I live on, is the lessons that I've taught them
mm-hmm.
and that they will actually teach other students as they become attending physicians. I feel like that's sort of a legacy of teaching people.
Yeah.
So.
You'd hope they'd remember what you taught them, at least.
Well, even if they don't remember it to me or attribute it to me, at least I'm contributing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really care about the credit as much as I do that I'm using what I've got, that the Lord has called me to do,
mm-hmm.
that I would be faithful in doing it, and that He would make it what He's wanting to do with it.
Yeah. And going back to the last one about wisdom to pass on, you talked about how listening to what the Lord is calling you to do, but what if some of your descendants don't believe in God? What would you tell them as their wisdom?
Well, I would hope that they would really figure out. Here's the problem with the world. is I feel like the world works really hard at sucking truth away, and most people get dumbed down with the average and ordinary, and they have like a herd mentality, and they go with the spirit of whatever the world thinks, and it's so quick to just throw in your towel with whatever your friends are thinking and just go along with the current modern day thoughts on things. And I would hope that they would push against that and not just be average and ordinary, and that they would really think through, and they would, you know, if they come to the decision that God does not exist because they've sought after that question very diligently and hard, then I'd be happy with it. But to simply settle on the fact that I don't believe in God only because I've sat around with my friends who don't believe in God and haven't really thought about the truth that there is a creator, I would be disappointed in them.
It's interesting how that type of thing often goes. Some people who start one way end up another way. Some people who start Christian end up atheist, end up Christian again. Some people who start out atheist, then they study the Bible, they try to be Christian, then they go back to being atheist. It's interesting how different people, they don't all come to the same place. They all go different ways.
Yeah, and you're right.
And I wonder, I guess it's just based on the individual experience, how our brains are wired, what we perceive, what we feel most comfortable placing our trust in, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Now, do you think your journey, did you have some atheist moments?
Oh, yeah. I don't think I believed in God until high school.
Okay. So even though you were, you started out being raised Christian, you didn't believe in it until you found it for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I realized that. I was thinking you were there from the beginning.
I thought it was all a crutch that people just did to get through life and make themselves feel good.
I started out trying to believe for a long time, and now I'm kind of in the place of I'm not really sure, and so I'll see what will happen. You know, I'll find my own way. I understand what you mean about the crutch thing. That's part of what I see right now, because I don't think I can see past it yet. So that was, I think, that was the last question. So thank you so much for doing this interview with me.
You are very welcome.
Say hi to the Library of Congress, I guess. Okay.